John chapter 8. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" They said this, tempting him, really, that they might have reason to accuse him. So obviously, these people nab this woman right in the middle of her sinning, I guess, and dragged her to Jesus. Does it sound like they were being genuine, like they were really concerned about this woman's soul and her sins, and were trying to practice good old honest justice and correction? No, not at all. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he did not hear them. Now, we're not told what Jesus was writing on the ground. I suspect that perhaps he was writing down all of their names and how many of them were committing adultery with somebody else in their marriages. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, probably writing more of their names and more of them who were committing adultery. Now, Jesus's point here is not, well, you know, unless you are perfectly sinless, then you cannot judge somebody and convict them of a sin. If that were the case, none of us could ever judge someone and convict them of a sin. In that case, there would be no reason for this law in the law of Moses that adulterers should be stoned, because no one would be perfect in order to carry out this sentence, right? That's not Jesus's point. You have to be perfect before you can convict someone else of their guilt. No, what he is saying here is, well, first of all, I have to wonder how many of these people are also guilty of adultery. Because remember, in Matthew 7, Jesus teaches that not to judge when you are guilty of the same sin. First, you must correct your sin before you can help somebody else with their sin. And in addition, these people weren't being honest, weren't being genuine with this woman. They simply found somebody who was in the middle of sinning and dragged them to Jesus just so they could tempt him and trip him up. And those who heard it, being convicted by their own consciences, probably of adultery, because again, we don't have to be perfectly sinless in order to convict someone of their guilt. Otherwise, there would be no point in having any laws, because no one is perfect. But I would say a lot of these people were probably guilty of the same sin that this woman was committing, or just living filthy, sinful lives. They had no right whatsoever to convict anyone of their sins. So their consciences convicted him, and they left one by one, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no man condemned you?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, notice Jesus didn't say, "Neither do I condemn you." you just go about doing what you were doing. I'm not going to, you know, hold you accountable for that. No, he's telling her, stop sinning. Then Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, he's been describing himself several times as the light. John chapter 1, John describes Jesus as the light. Therefore, the Pharisees said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear witness of myself, yet my witness is true. For I know from where I came and where I go, but you cannot tell where I come and where I go. They should have known, especially the Pharisees and the scribes, because they should have been very, very familiar with the Old Testament, all of the prophecies of the Messiah coming, and that Jesus himself was fulfilling all of these prophecies. They should have known. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no man, at least not yet. He will on Judgment Day. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. One place you can see that is Deuteronomy 17:6, where someone can't be condemned to death by the mouth of just one witness. There has to be at least two witnesses. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So there's your two witnesses there, Jesus himself and God the Father. Then said they to him, where is your Father? Of course, they're not understanding that Jesus' Father is God, because they're choosing not to understand. Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Jesus spoke these words in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So he's convicting them right there. Then the Jews said, will he kill himself, because he said, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. There is such a difference between the Son of God and men. Therefore, I said to you that you shall die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Now, as we've been going through Matthew through up to this point, we've seen several things that are required of us to become Christians and to be saved. Belief is definitely one of them. And, you know, here's a good passage for that right there. Therefore, I said to you that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Remember, he said in Luke 13, 3 and 5, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So there's definitely believing and repenting. We know from Matthew 10, he talks about confession. Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So you've got believing, you've got repenting, you've got confessing. We know from Mark 16:16 that baptism is required. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, and therefore would not be baptized, shall be condemned. So we're getting a good picture here so far of the things that are required of us to become Christians and to be saved. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said to you from the beginning, the same person I have been telling you this whole time, I am the Son of God. I have many things to say to you and to judge of you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things that I have heard from him. He is here to do a mission. He is here to do the work of his Father. They did not understand he spoke to them of the Father. Again, because they're choosing not to understand. They do not want to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, even though he has proven it over and over and over again. Not only with just the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, but his ability to do supernatural acts and his teaching and preaching, which is not glorifying himself, but glorifying his Father. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, I think he's referring to his crucifixion on the cross there, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. The fact that he is going to be raised from the dead after he's been crucified and buried, then they're going to realize, oh yeah, that was the Son of God. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. He keeps telling them over and over again that he is here to do the will of God. He is speaking what God tells him to speak. He is doing what God tells him to do. God is proving Jesus as his son by giving him powers to perform miracles. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, obey me, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you obey me, you will be saved. It's that simple. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we're never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? What do you mean we're going to be made free? We're not slaves to anybody. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. If you are sinning, if you live a life of sin, you're the servant of Satan. If you live a life of righteousness, you are the servant of God. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I skipped a verse. And the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus can help us become children of God. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. He's saying that your father is Satan. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that portray Jesus as a very weak, mild, weakling, really. I mean, look at all of the Western portrayals of Jesus. They always show him as this really skinny, pasty, white, emaciated, long-haired hippie. Just, it makes me cringe every time I see that. First of all, he was a carpenter's son, so I doubt that he was a weakling. Second of all, does this sound like he is very mild, meek-mannered, weak? He is telling these people what they need to hear. And he's not doing it gently and weakly at all. He just told the Jews that their actions show that they are the children of Satan instead of children of God. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, you would obey me. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father, Satan. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. I did not come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are choosing not to listen to me and to use your brain. You are from your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abided not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Again, does he sound like he's very weak? I don't think so. And because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear him, because you are not of God. Now, one thing we need to understand, if a person comes out and says, I am the Son of God, I am Christ, and we have that all the time. They had that back then. They had false Christ then. We have false Christ today. But what is the big, big difference between all those other people in the past who've ever said that they are the Messiah versus Jesus, who said he was the Messiah? Because in all honesty, I'm not going to believe someone who says, I'm the Messiah. I'm not going to just blindly believe them. But here's the deal with Jesus. He has fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. He has performed supernatural acts. He has proven to them over and over and over again that he is the Son of God, versus someone who claims to be the Messiah, and you can tell by their life of debauchery as a cult leader that obviously they are not the Messiah. So this is not blind faith. He's not expecting them to have blind faith. Oh, well, you say you're the Son of God, I'm going to just believe you. No, he's proven it over and over again. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Okay, now they're just totally insulting him. First of all, they called him a Samaritan, which he is not. He's a Jew. That's a derogatory term, because remember, the Jews considered Samaritans like half-breeds. And have a demon. You have an evil spirit in you. You're crazy. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. No kidding. I mean, they just totally insulted him. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never see death. And see, it's what's amazing about Jesus. He's still talking to them. At this point, I would have walked away. I would have said, mm-mm. You are swine, and I'm casting my pearls before swine. I'm done. But he continues talking to them. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste of death. Of course, they're looking at it as a physical death. So you're telling us, if we do what you say, we're going to live physically forever. Again, they are purposely, willingly not understanding what Jesus is saying. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? This is getting very contentious at this point. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I do know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Again, he's not demanding blind faith from them. What he does expect, especially from Pharisees and scribes who should know the Old Testament scriptures very well, you should be able to see by all of the evidence that I have shown you. You have no excuse. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him. I mean, this has reached a crescendo. They are ready to now kill him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by, because it wasn't his time yet. And that is John chapter 8.